The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. So when he, that is Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And this is the gospel of the Lord. Eric had a real heart for the poor. He lived in New Jersey, worked in New York, and often he would make sandwiches for the homeless folks that hung out in the train station where he was taking the train from New Jersey to New York. He would give them out, and there was one particular guy that stuck out in his mind. He was a big fella. And he was grumpy. He was nasty. He wasn't appreciative. And he wasn't nice. Eric came to dislike this person and his reaction to the offered sandwiches so much that he stopped offering them. In fact, one day a woman came over to him in the train station and said, "What are you doing?" She said, He said, "I'm giving sandwiches to homeless people." She said, "You missed that one." So grudgingly, he went back over and gave the guy a sandwich. But he never really liked him that much. So you can imagine his surprise when this same big, grumpy, nasty, homeless guy showed up in his church one Sunday. He was being escorted by a young woman who brought the guy to the room where the church had used clothes and donated clothing for poor people. So she went with him and she said, "This guy needs shoes. She says, "Size 13D. Bob Lanier's shoe was only slightly larger. So he went and looked in good faith, but he was very happy to come back and said, "I'm sorry, we don't have 13D. And off they went, and he thought to himself, "Good. I didn't want to give him shoes anyhow. I'm glad we were out of that size." Sometimes people are not easy to like, no less to love. In the gospel passage that I just read, it's towards the end of the 13th chapter of John. And in the 13th chapter of John, Jesus is having or has just had his last meal with his friends the day before he is about to die. And as you look around the table, you find people that aren't particularly likable. You've got, of course, Judas. He's there. He's the one who betrays. But then you've got Peter, the big mouth, the blusterer. He's the one who denies Jesus three times. Then you've got the rest of them. And they just get out of town as fast as they can when trouble appears. So Jesus is having dinner with a bunch of people who are, to say the least, disappointing. And some of them are quite easy not to love. But listen to how the chapter begins. Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come. So Jesus has spent his life living towards his hour. What's the hour? The hour of his absolute maximum obedience. The hour when he gives every drop of his blood in humiliating pain because he is obedient to the Father and because he loves sinners. Because he loves us, not when we're likable only, but also when we're unlikable. So he knew his hour was to come, and John says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So when we get to this commandment at the end, in the reading that I just read, let's think of what type of love we're talking about. Because this is a love which is rooted in faithfulness. It loves in the world, it loves till the end, it doesn't stop loving. I mean, little Samantha was talking, when Demetrius asked about love, and we asked, what do you think of when you think of the word love? She said, my mom. Why did she say that? Because she understands, even at her tender age, that a mother's love is faithful. It's faithful when she's good, it's faithful when she's bad. It's faithful and takes care of her. And that's a mirror of the love of God. That's the love that Christ has loved his own in the world with, and now will love them to the end. He said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to him. So Jesus knows who he is. He knows he's about to be betrayed. He knows who's about to betray him. He knows the next day or so will not be the most pleasant in his life. And he knows that all things are in his hands. He has within him the power of God. He goes to his cross not as a victim. He goes to his cross as a conqueror. He goes to his cross faithful to the one who sent him to be a living human example. A revelation of the love of God. And so what does he do? The first thing he does is he puts on an apron and washes his disciples' feet. All things are in his hand. He's the boss. But he does the job of a slave. These aren't any old feet. They haven't been in the shower this morning, right? They've been walking all over Palestine. They smell. They're dirty. It's a lousy job to wash feet. But he gets a basin of water, and he washes the feet of everyone in that room. He washes John. He washes Andrew. He washes Judas's feet. Because Judas may be about to betray Jesus. But Jesus would never betray Judas. And so he washes those feet. When Peter says, oh, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I mean, come on, you're the boss. I'm not. Jesus says, no, I'm doing this for a purpose. I must wash your feet. You'll understand later. Because what I'm doing, you must do. You must get off your high horse always. Get off your high horse and live life as a servant of others and not as the boss. After he finishes washing those feet, he goes back to table and He takes a morsel of food. John, the beloved disciples next to Jesus, said, "Who's going to betray you? Tell us," because Jesus let that slip, right? And Jesus says, "The one to whom I give this morsel, that's the one. I'm telling you so that when it happens, you'll know that I am he." So he takes this food, and in a gesture of absolute intimacy, he feeds his betrayer. This is Jesus saying, almost sacramentally, "Judas, you don't have to do this. Judas, it's not too late." But for Judas, the temptation was so great that he left the meal, and at that point, the devil went in him. And that's the point where the reading I just read picks up. Once Judas had left, and the action which leads to the crucifixion has begun in earnest, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Now. Because when John talks about the glorification of Christ, he is talking about the cross. The glory of God is Jesus fully obedient to him, explaining to us, to the world, that God loves us so much that having taken on our human form, he's willing to shed our human form, give everything he is and everything he has in absolute and ultimate self-gift, to show us that the nature of God is love, and the nature of love is selflessness. So now is the Son of Man glorified. He says, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer." So the last thing Jesus is going to do, in this chapter at least, he's going to prepare his disciples for what is to come. "I won't be with you like I've been with you. I won't be there to share meals anymore. I won't be there to teach in the temple or in the synagogues or in the mountains. I won't be there to heal. But I'm going to leave you something even better. I'm going to send you another advocate." In Greek, paraklete. I'm not going to try it in Greek. But the word means the one who is thrown along beside you. So one to walk along with you. And that is the Spirit. But what does he say here? "I'm also going to give you a commandment. And that is that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, love is a word that has a lot of stress on it. Especially in English. You know, we love hats. We love picnics. We love a cold beer on a hot day. Yeah? And that's not the love that Jesus is talking about here. You know, we love our friends because they love us back, and that's not even what Jesus is talking about here. He is using a word somewhat rarely used in Scripture, except in the Gospels, and it means selfless love. A love that gives without caring about return. A love that is constant and consistent. And he says, "That's how I want you to love. I want you to let go of your stinking egos. I want you to stop thinking about yourself and what you want and what you think and your pet theories and ideas. Let go of all of that. Just love each other. Don't worry about what group you're falling into." You know, in the reading that we had from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter starts baptizing Gentiles. Can you believe it? Well, the Jewish believers didn't believe it. They said, what are you doing, Peter? They're not circumcised. Peter says, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. God doesn't care if you're young or old, fat or thin. He doesn't care if you're a liberal or conservative. He doesn't care if your family comes derives from Africa or Greece or Germany or Ireland or the islands. What he cares about is that you care about others. What he cares about is that we let go of me, of all of our me's, so that we can embrace us, so that we can embrace even those who are not terribly lovable. Carl Menninger, the psychiatrist, wrote that love cures. It cures those who give love, and it cures those who receive it. So if we want to be a healing presence in our broken, fractious, divided world, here's what we can do. Go out and love people. Love them whoever they are. Be nice to them, regardless of whether they're nice back. Give them sandwiches even if they're grumpy. You know, Eric, after he had gleefully told his grouchy homeless friend that there were no 13D shoes at the church, he then listened to a sermon on love. And on his way home from church, he went to a Payless shoe store. And what do you think he bought? Size 13D shoes. And then he went back to church to try to find the guy. He didn't find him, but he found the woman who had been carting him around. And he said, I've got 13D shoes. She said, don't need them anymore. I got them. There you go. He tried. He tried. Well, I don't know if they took it that far. Maybe they saved it for the next pair of shoes. But about 6 months later, Eric met a young woman in church and invited her out for coffee after the service. He sort of liked her. Never seen her before, so he thought. So as they're walking for coffee, they pass the Payless shoe store. And she says, that's where I got that guy his shoes. See, she was the woman. He didn't recognize her. But that moment brought them together in a deeper place than a cup of coffee ever could have brought two people together. Because at that moment, both of them realized that their hearts belonged to Christ. They married sometime after that. And the guy with the 13 shoes, he was invited to the wedding. You see, love does cure. It cures those who give it, and it cures those who receive it. Amen.